Yes, let me get that going. So prayer and fasting. He didn't just say prayer. Now prayer is essential. Prayer is important. Let me give you some points about prayer, and then we're going to go into some scripture. Prayer is very common. Okay. Prayer is a common act. All faiths pray. Okay. All faiths pray. This prayer is not anything that is unique. Okay. So prayer is not the real issue here. Okay. Notice it says prayer and fasting. Prayer is not the issue here. All right. Even when we look at it, prayer really is not optional. When God embraces us as his own, when we receive him, prayer is not optional. It is really a command. When we look throughout the Bible and we see prayer is actually a command. It's something that we should be doing. And really, to be honest, other faiths have spoken about and really lived what I believe to be sometimes from what I've seen and witnessed a more dedicated prayer life. And it may seem even religious in terms of how they pray and the times of day that they pray, the number of times that they pray. When you look at Jews, when you look at Muslims, when you look at Hindus, when you look at the various faiths, Christianity is a faith that doesn't often have prayer at the center of what we do. And when I say that, I'm saying collectively. Okay, so if Kirk Franklin is coming in concert, we can pack out the house. Right. If we call a prayer meeting, you can throw a rock and probably not hit somebody. You know, that's how sometimes the prayer go. And you can look at this in the larger churches. I've talked with pastors who have very robust congregations in terms of size. But if they were calling people together just to pray, sometimes people will find the excuse of not showing up or not seeing it as being something that is essential. Okay. So I want us to be so unique that everybody sees prayer as being essential. As everybody sees prayer as a lifestyle, because we cannot just have fasting and not have prayer as part of the lifestyle as well. So because prayer and fasting are necessary. Okay, so I think that we are not doing one well enough, and then we're not doing the other at all, really, enough. So we have to somehow combine the two, because Jesus was telling the disciples that there are certain demonic spirits that require us to have both prayer and fasting in place. It's a requirement, not an option. So you can pray in tongues all day, and then the demons will just listen to you, because there's no combination of prayer and fasting that puts you in a position to drive out certain demonic spirits. Now, this is according to the word. We can see this throughout the word. And so what I want to say is that prayer, and let me define prayer. Let me give you the definition of prayer. It's a great, great definition of prayer. It is prayer equals petition. It's a petition, right? And so we say, well, what is a petition? And this is a great thing to say on this inaugural Wednesday with the inauguration of the new administration in Washington. Prayer is a legal appeal or a legal demand, and I'm going to repeat this a couple times, on a government based on constitutional right protected by law. Let me say that again. Prayer is a legal appeal or demand on a government based on constitutional rights protected by law. Let me say it one more time. prayer is a legal appeal or demand on a government based on constitutional rights protected by law. So what are we saying when we say that? You have to understand that when we talk about constitutions, we're talking about covenant. When we're talking about legal or legalities, we're talking about the right that believers have to go to the throne of God, the right to make an appeal or a demand on the government based upon the promises and structure of that government. That's really what prayer is. So when we look at prayer from that perspective, we're able to glorify God. Why? Because he's the head of that, of the heavenly government. We're able to give him glory. We're able to give him honor. It's our legal right to do that. It's our legal right to praise him. But also it's our legal right to make a request based upon the law. And the law is the word of God. So based upon the principles, the constitutional law, which is the principles of the word of God, based upon that, we are able to make an appeal or a demand based upon that. Now, the reason why people get weary at times with prayer is because they don't see prayers getting answered. And that's a big deal. When you're praying and you don't see the answer, you've been praying for a while about something and answers don't come, that's an issue. That's an issue, right? So people can get weary and say, I can't do this. I'm done. I've been doing all this praying and nothing's really happening. And so when you think about that, you think about, how we can sometimes be discouraged because we're not seeing the results. It puts us in a position to not pray as often as we should. Okay. And we don't pray to get, we don't pray just to get. Okay. So that's one of the problems, is that we use prayer just as a mechanism by which to get. And when we don't get what we want, we start praying instead of seeing prayer as a covenant bond and an intimate bond with God. But once we incorporate fasting with prayer, it becomes a stronger covenant. When you begin to fast, it's going to open up your mind and your heart to even pray more, because you're bringing your body under the subjection or into subjection as it relates to the spirit. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's begin to hint on fasting. And I'm going to go through some scriptures. We're not going to exhaust all my notes from tonight, but we'll go through enough where we can bite off and chew and digest, no pun intended, as relates to fasting. So we're going to talk about fasting, but we're going to chew on talking about fasting. We're going to digest it. We're going to intake it. All right. So fasting, the first point I want to make, fasting takes your body and submits it to the spirit. That's one of the first purposes and principles of fasting. It takes your body and it submits it to the spirit. Secondly, fasting changes us. It doesn't change God. Fasting changes us. Doesn't take God is the same. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? We know that. We say it all the time. That is one of the pillars of our ministry, the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the same. So fasting changes us and it opens us up to what God is already saying. It's almost like, I gave this example before. You know, right now, there are AM and FM radio waves on all frequencies that are passing through the air right now. They're going in and out of this broadcast right now. They are in your home right now. They're swirling around your head right now. All of these frequencies, they are active. Okay. But when you tune in, as a matter of fact, there are other people who are on Zoom calls right now. The number that you use to dial into this Bible study tonight is the frequency that we are on. And on this frequency, you hear me. On another frequency, another passcode, another number, they hear somebody else. They don't hear me, even though we're on the same platform. Okay, so what happens is that fasting helps us to tune in to the right frequency so that we can hear what God is saying to us that's already being said. Okay, fasting doesn't move God to say, now I'm going to speak to you because you're fasting. God is saying, I've been speaking, now you can hear me because you've been fasting. See, that's the difference. Because now you're tuning your body and getting it into or on the right frequency in order to hear what God is saying to you. Okay, so now, if you have any thoughts, comments, questions, something that's just burning in your spirit that you want to say, please feel free, raise your hand if you know how to do that on the screen, or physically raise your hand. And I'm looking up and I see you, I'll acknowledge you. But okay, I knew Mother Yola didn't even get a chance to finish. So, but I want to say that because what I want us to do is walk through this. And if you have some questions or some comments, you can just throw them back at me. So Mother Yola, go ahead.
Okay. Verse 21, where you ended.
Yes.
It's italicized. Were those yes. really Jesus's words, or was that put in? I'm not looking at any other version. I'm looking at your amplified version. And are those really Jesus's words, or were those inserted?
Okay, so here's what, whenever you see italics mm-hmm. in the Bible, mm-hmm. that means that the version or the manuscripts that they took the scriptures from, mm-hmm. it appears in some and it doesn't appear in others. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's where you get into the whether or not something is
authentic.
Yes. And it's not an authenticity, it is a
direct quote.
It is what man has found.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the manuscripts that were taken, there were various copies of these manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
And some scriptures appeared in certain manuscripts that didn't appear in others.
Okay.
And so it was chosen to insert them and to italicize to say that this may not appear in all of the older manuscripts, but it does appear in some.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, right. So it's not something that's like made up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to, and you bring up a good point, because in part of our Bible study and studying the Bible, these are things that we need to know. But let me show you something else though, because I'm glad you brought that question up. Mark chapter 9, we see the same thing. There's a consistency here, right? We see the same thing when Jesus talks about, and you see it in the footnotes of certain manuscripts, that it talks about, and he replied to them in verse Mark 9:29, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. So some manuscripts have Jesus recorded as saying and fasting, and some did not. Okay. So the reason why, they saw it enough to say it must be acknowledged. Okay. But now I'm glad you brought it up, because some people say, well, is fasting really necessary? Because it's not everywhere. Okay. So let me say this. There are a lot of other things that we don't read and see, like many of the what we call the apocryphal books of the Bible. Many of those, if you have an Ethiopian Bible, there are over 80, not 66, but over 80 books that are sanctioned by the oldest church in existence, which is the Ethiopian church, that have not been translated or brought over for various reasons, not because of lack of authenticity, but the content. And I really don't want to get into this, that teaching tonight, but by the content in those, like the Book of Enoch, which I've actually used to help explain the Tree of Life in one of our Bible studies when we were talking about the Book of Revelation. I actually went to the Book of Enoch, which appears in the Ethiopian Bible, which is the oldest known manuscript in the world. But yet it was chosen not to bring some of those books over. Okay. And if you think about it, you have a book called Esther that was sanctioned by those who said, these are the 66 books that we're going to go with. And that doesn't even mention God's name. So there was some politics played in what the world would be given and what it wouldn't be given as relates to the publishing of the scriptures that are out there. So I say that to say there are certain scriptures that we are not even reading that can help us give a greater understanding of even the things that we're talking about. And that's how, when I went to study the Book of Enoch, I found out that there was some great explanation in the Book of Enoch to help me to understand how the Tree of Life functions in the Book of Revelation. So these are, and I'm not expecting you to, you know, go out and begin to study in this way. But however, I would say if you're able to get your hands on, and I have one downloaded from online, an Ethiopian Bible. And I'm not just talking about the Ethiopian Bible that just has the 66 King James books, so to speak, or that was translated by King James and his people. It's a great opportunity for you to dig a little deeper, and you're not being sacrilegious by reading the apocryphal books that do not appear in the Bible as we know it in the Western world. But in that part of the world, those other books are common to the church. They're common to the church. People grew up reading those books, you know, and Enoch was the one that walked with God and was no more, right? So when we think about it, and that's all we know about him, but there's a series of things that he wrote that we don't even realize and know because we haven't read it. Okay. So there's a lot there. There's a lot there. So Deacon Tony, I see you.
Yeah, I was just going to say an amazing thing about the Book of Enoch. Things that Christ had done and words he had said was said hundreds and thousands of years before Christ, right on down to the Ten Commandments. It's already in the Book of Enoch, in Ethiopian books and things. So these words were not first said in our Bible. They were first said in an Ethiopian Bible.
And these are things that are really powerful. And they said, what's the download that I referenced? I saw that in the chat. So let me just do that real quickly. Let me just say that if you go to any, and I'll just say, because this is Bible study and I want us to learn this, but I'm going to get right back to the fasting scripture. We're going to have time to get to the main point that I want to get to tonight. It is the Ethiopian Bible that I have downloaded is... Let me give you the name of the version of the one that I have. It is a book called the books of the Ethiopian. Let me go back here. Yeah. So it is called the books of the Ethiopian Bible. And it says the missing books from the Protestant canon, the missing books from the Protestant canon, books of the Ethiopian Bible. So it has all of those books that are not in the Bible as we know it, but are in the Ethiopian Bible. It has those books in a separate book in and of itself, okay, to show us what it is, okay? So it's the books of the Ethiopian Bible, the missing books of the Protestant canon. And then there's certain books that they're still translating because it was from the Giza language that the Ethiopians spoke. And it's a very difficult language to translate. And so it takes a long time for that information to be translated into English. And that's why they take their time in actually translating it. So it's very, very powerful and interesting, interesting read. So many of the concepts and things that we know of as relates to Christianity came from the Ethiopian church. And interesting enough, they did a segment on the Ethiopian church on 60 Minutes, I think, maybe a month or so ago. It was around the time of celebration of Christmas. And they talked about the types of celebrations that go on there and how many of the churches, such as the Orthodox Church, even the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, they got many of the principles from the Ethiopian church. So it's just a lot there. So anyway, that's a whole nother study. But we can definitely get that information and read it. It's very much interesting and necessary for us to understand the fullness of the scriptures that we have available to us here on the earth. Many of them reference, the Bible in and of itself references Black people all throughout. I mean, Moses to everybody. So these are things that we must be aware of. So anyway, fasting changes us, not God. Okay. Fasting also, number three, increases our spiritual capacity. This is what I was saying earlier. It increases our spiritual capacity to actually understand more of what God is saying. Okay. It increases our spiritual capacity. I want you to look at it from this standpoint. And that was a great illustration that was given by a preacher. He said that God is like a 50-gallon tank. And what happens is that we as believers have adopted a lifestyle that where we have a 2-inch tube that's attached to that 50-gallon tank. And no, it doesn't matter how wide you open that spout, it's only so much that's going to get through that tube. So much, right? And with all of the things that we eat, you know how some of the things that we eat can clog our arteries and things of that nature. So a lot of things that we do as believers, sin and things of that nature, they clog up that 2-inch tube so that now there's less that's coming out of that 2-inch tube from the 50-gallon tank. And so what fasting does is it opens up our capacity to have more of God to flow through us. So our tube moves from a 2-inch tube to a larger tube that can handle more capacity from God, where he can really flow through us. Some of us, he's just trickling through, you know, every now and then you get, you know what I'm saying, some that blesses somebody every now and then. But we want to be like a water hose that's just pouring out into the lives of others. And that comes by opening up our capacity. And fasting actually helps to open up our capacity to handle more and to do more. Now, I want to take you to one of Sister Deidre's favorite scriptures. I'm just saying that. I don't know if it's a favorite. I'm just looking at her. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I need somebody to read that when you get there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Y'all know this scripture, but I want somebody to read it. It starts with the word if. I'm going to pull it out from the living too as well. But I want you to read it, whatever version you have, for 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's a word that we've missed. We skipped over and has everything to do with fasting. So If you're there, go ahead and read. That's the Old Testament.
7:4
chapter 7, verse 14.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
All right. So now I want you to see there. There's a key word. There's a couple key words. And I just thank you for reading from the Amplified. Can you read that one more time? There's a couple words I want to pick up on.
If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
All right. So notice that there's a word in here, and we hear it throughout the Bible, but there's a word in here that's purposefully by God put in this scripture to give us a sense of what he's saying. When Amplify helps us to understand that word crave, okay? Crave. It has everything to do with appetite. Okay. Crave.
Hunger.
Appetite. Right. That's so I want you to go back now. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Okay. Humble themselves and pray. I'm saying it one more time. Humble themselves and pray. The word humble here is essential for us to get and to understand tonight. We don't get nothing else. This is what I want us to get. Humble is the act of subduing the body. To humble yourself is the act of subduing the body. Okay. Now, I need you to think outside of the box. And the scripture teaches us how to think outside of the box as it relates to this. Whenever we think about, and we've read the scripture 1,000 times, whenever we think about humbling ourselves, what comes to your mind?
Yielding our will to God.
Yielding our will to God, right? All right, anybody else? Yielding our will to God.
I think about like putting others before, like putting yourself, you know, putting others above you.
Right. Putting others above you. Mm-hmm. Right. So having humility, right? Being lowly, right? Okay. So I need you to see here that to be humble is the act of subduing the body. Fasting, okay, is the act of subduing the body. Okay, I need you to see that there's some synonymity going on here. Fasting is the act of subduing the body. Same thing as humble, right? So can it be, and we're going to see in scripture, I'm just asking a question right now. Can humble equal fasting? Can being humble, when it says humble yourselves and pray, because fasting, some kind ain't going to go out but by prayer and fasting. Okay. Humbling yourselves and praying, or fasting and praying. Seek his face, crave for him. Fast, pray, crave for him. Don't crave for food. Don't crave for stuff. Subdue the body and crave only me. Okay. Now, I'm giving you that for context purposes, but now we're about to put scripture on it. Okay. All right. So I wanted to say that to just kind of get you to thinking that, what does humble mean here? And when we hear Jesus talking about this combination of fasting and praying, did God already give us that combination? But the way it was translated, it messed us up. Okay, so humble, subdue the body, fasting, subdue the body, humble and pray, fasting and pray. Okay, that's we're gonna make this correlation. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. All right, y'all gonna leave here feeling like a theologian tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Y'all feel like y'all have been I'm giving y'all seminary teaching now. Y'all good. Y'all gonna be good. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. I'm still paying off my seminary debt. Glory be to God. Y'all getting it for free. That's a blessing, ain't it? All right. Deuteronomy. Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right.
I'll read it, but this is the good news, Bible.
Well, go ahead and read it. We'll take some good news with us too today. Go ahead.
He made you go hungry, and then he gave you manna to eat, food that you and your ancestors had never eaten before. He did this to teach you that human beings must not depend on bread alone to sustain them, but on everything that the Lord says.
Okay, I like that good news version. All right, the good news. Now, the good news left out some good, but it's go ahead, another version. Go ahead. But that was good. That was good because I like that. I like the way that that ended, that one in the good news version. Go ahead, read it from another version.
Well, here's the Amplified verse 3. And he, referring to Jesus, and he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and
feed. Okay, wait. He humbled you? How did he humble them?
And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger.
So how did he humble them? Through hunger.
Through fasting. Okay.
Right. So he humbled them by not giving food.
Okay.
He humbled them by not giving them food. Why? And the reason, Sister Roz, read the last part of that. What was the reason why he did it? So that they would not depend on what alone?
He did this to teach you that human beings must not depend on bread alone to sustain them. But on everything that the Lord says.
That's why we fast. Okay. That's why we fast. It is a constant reminder that we don't depend on bread alone. Right? Jesus repeated this when he was dealing with the temptation from the enemy, right? The temptation came right after what? Jesus
fasting in the desert, in the wilderness.
So after he fasted, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what he said. Y'all remember that? Matthew 4. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. That's over in there. That's in your Bible and the Ethiopian Bible. Mm-hmm. So I want you to understand that he humbled them. He said, I'm going to put you on a fast. Okay, so that you can recognize that it's not, you can't live on bread alone, but you got to live off every word that comes forth from me. So he humbled them. He humbled them and allowed them to hunger. That's how he humbled them. Oh, so now we're going to humble, subdue the body, fasting, subdue the body, humble. Fasting, he took food away, fasting to abstain from food. So now you've taken food away and it humbled them. Mm-hmm. That's how we humble ourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's how we humble ourselves, by putting us in a position of fasting, of abstaining from food. That's how we humble ourselves. All right, so let's go a little bit deeper. You say, well, Pastor, that enough. Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. Right after Daniel in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. Let's see if that's the scripture that I want.
Hosea.
Yeah, Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. And Roz, if you're still there, if you have the Good News Bible, I want to hear that from the Good News as well.
13:6. But when you entered the good land, you became full and satisfied, and then you grew proud and forgot me.
Ah, okay. So he said you entered the promised land. You became full. And what did fullness bring you? Pride. You became proud and you forgot me. Okay. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. So that's the opposite of humility. So fullness brings pride. Fasting brings humility. That's how we humble ourselves and pray and seeking his face, crave him and turn from our wicked ways. Then you're going to hear. Then he's going to listen. Then he said, I got you. And I heal the land. We want the land healed and we just praying. We ain't fasting. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have not humbled our bodies. We have not subdued our bodies to the spirit. So land ain't going to be healed. Okay. Turning from the wicked ways. When you humble, you turn from doing those things that are wicked. Land ain't going to be healed. We can say that scripture all day long, but if we're not living it out, land not going to be healed. Okay? That's just, land is not going to do. It's not going to happen. Okay? This is the missing piece. This is the missing element. We've been praying for years. We've been praising for years. We've been worshiping for years. We've been singing for years. We've been reading the Bible for years. Something got to be missing for us to be in this state. Fasting. Okay. He said, you in the land, you got full. You eating all the time now. You forgot about me because you're good. You full. Pride comes in. Humility now is based upon fasting, not fullness. All right. So, I got another one for you. Go to Psalm 35, 13. I really like this one. Psalm 35, 13. Psalm 35, 13. Woo. Y'all all right? All right. This is good. We about finished now. We got one more scripture after this to go, and then I'm going to let y'all go. I'm going to stay true to the 8 o'clock hour. All right. Psalm 35:13. Somebody read that with authority.
Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting.
Go read that again. How did he humble himself?
Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting.
I'm sorry, y'all. It's just good. How did he humble himself?
With fasting.
God.
And the Amplified version includes, and I prayed with head bowed on my breast.
Stop it. So read the whole thing in the Amplified. Just read the whole thing. I'm sorry. Just go ahead.
Verse 13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting and I prayed with head bowed on my breast.
Fasting and
prayer.
Combination, the dynamic duo.
Okay.
Did y'all see that? Y'all see that in scripture? Nikita said that he said that he humbled himself with fasting. Mm-hmm. Mother Yola said, based upon what Nikita said, based upon what he said, mm-hmm. was that
with prayer.
With prayer. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna speak for myself. I've been missing this. Okay, I ain't even gonna put it on y'all. Okay, you gotta speak for yourself. I've been missing this. All right. So the humility, the humbleness is found in fasting. So now you see why I can go back to if my people, to call by name, so humble themselves and pray. We got to know how to humble ourselves. He said, I humble myself with fasting. That's what the word says. So we've been missing it. We've been, heal the land, God, heal the land. God's saying fast and pray. Turn from your wicked ways. Crave me. You know, because you get full, you forgot me. I'm giving you the scriptures. I'm giving you the groundwork to understand this. Okay. Why we should fast. This is why it's important. I want to teach this. This is why it's important for me to teach this. Now, let me go to the last scripture here. Because that one was enough to shout on there. That I did. That was good. So we're going to close with this last one. I know it's right. It's 8 o'clock. We're going to go with this last one. Sister Flowers, is that okay? Can I do this last one? Sister Flowers says yes. If she had said no, we were going to close and go on about our business. But since she said yes, we're going to do this. All right. So Ezra chapter 8. Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. You know that order, don't you, sister? I heard you. Ezra, right after 2 Chronicles. Ezra chapter, and 2 Chronicles is after 1 Chronicles. Okay, just so that y'all know. All right. Ezra chapter 8. Now, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 23, and I promise y'all, we're going to be done tonight, because this was full. This is why fasting is important. So, Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. I need somebody to read that.
Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him a straight and right way for us.
Stop.
Yes.
Did y'all see that? Did y'all? Okay. Well, I think that Leo needs to hear that again. So please start at the beginning. Verse 21 to read that again. Oh, is that Liam? Liam? Oh, I'm sorry. Now. You see Switch. Okay. I just saw the hair. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Liam needs to hear that. Leo too, wherever he is. But let's go. Read that again, sister.
Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him a straight and right way for us.
Okay, stop again. Okay, that's the last time we'll stop you. I just got to say this. Isn't scripture beautiful when you're able to match it up and get the understanding of certain words and why they are there? So he says, I proclaim the fast so that we can humble ourselves. Yes. The word been teaching us how to humble ourselves. We're thinking that is just the definitions that we talked about earlier, which are not wrong. Mm-hmm. But to get to that point of putting others before you, to get to that point of not having pride, fasting puts you in a position to be humble, because you take self out of it, mm-hmm. self-desire out of it. Mm-hmm. So when you remove self-desire, you naturally move towards now helping others, blessing others. Okay, you see how that works. So this is how we humble. So humility is a birth child of fasting. Okay. All right, sister. I'm going to try to let you get through reading verses 21, 22, and 23. I'm just going to shut up. Go ahead.
Start back over. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him a straight and right way for us, our little ones, and all of our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy along the way, because we had told the king, the hand of our God is upon all them for who good. I'm sorry. Let me start that. The hand of our God is upon all them for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he heard our entreaty.
All right, all right, all right. I was trying to be quiet. I was trying. I did it. I made it. All right, so listen, then we're going to go. I promise you, we get ready to go, because I know y'all got stuff to do. All right, so listen. He said, we fasted and humbled ourselves so that we can find out what God wanted us to do, so he can show us the way. So I'm opening up my capacity to listen to God, to hear God by fasting. He said, because we didn't want to ask the king nothing, because we already said God's hand would be upon us and against our enemy, right? So he said that we had to fast in order to put ourselves in a position for this to be true, so that the king would see that we're not depending on him and his horsemen and his stuff to defeat our enemy. We're depending on God. Okay. So I don't know about you, but these scriptures I just gave you tonight, if you study and meditate and read these scriptures and read them in the order that I gave them to you, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, mm-hmm. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, mm-hmm. Hosea chapter 13, verse 6, Psalm chapter 35, verse 13, and Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. If you begin to read those, now we got a lot more scriptures to go. They're not tonight. We got to do it tonight, but we got a lot more scriptures to go mm-hmm. that break down the same principle throughout the word. Fasting and prayer, humbling ourselves. This is how we humble ourselves. So now whenever somebody says and quotes that scripture, you can tell them what they're talking about. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what?
Humble themselves in prayer.
How do you humble? How do you humble yourselves?
My fasting.
So you can say, my people who are called by my name shall fast and pray, seek my face, crave me, fast and pray, fast from food of the world, fast from the things of the world, and crave and have an appetite for me mm-hmm. and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what he's saying. That's why that word craving in the Amplified is so important, because it has a connotation of eating, of having an appetite. So I need you to not have an appetite for this so that you can have an appetite, more of an appetite for me. So that's the humbling that's talked about in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And all those other scriptures I gave you tonight and some more support that. Okay, so just know I ain't out there going way off somewhere. All right. So just understand. Thank you, sister. Praise be to God, Sister Nikita. Thank you. It is powerful. I'm excited about this, because it's going to take our living to another level. It's going to take our witness to another level. It's going to take our ability to help others to another level, because we will be humble and we will be praying and we will be craving to eat God's word and to eat what he has for us. And we do that by disciplining ourselves from eating natural food. Okay. And then we're going to talk about ways to do that. Now, we're not just going to jump in and say, I want everybody not to just stop eating total. God, that ain't God. Okay. To just stop eating total. No, the body can go without food for, Jesus gave us the model, 40 days. That's it. Mm-hmm. 40 days. Otherwise you do damage to yourself. The body can go without water, I think, for like 3 days max. These are all things that we have to understand how our bodies are made and conditioned. And we're going to talk more about that as well. But for health reasons, we have to be careful too as well. I'm not telling anybody to stop, you know, eating and then you're on medication. Want you to check with your doctor, all that stuff. But we're going to lay all that out. But I just want you to know we've gone down this road, but we ain't been this deep. We fasted before, but we ain't fasted like this, like right. What we're getting ready to do. And because we're going to a lifestyle of fasting. Well, I ain't coming back to you next year saying, well, let's not have a fast. I know we ain't fasted since last year. No, that ain't going to be the case. And we're going to be fasting all along. Okay, we're going to learn how to live the fasted life, the prayer life, the word life, the worship life, praise life, the humble life. We're going to learn all of that. All right. So did this bless anybody tonight? Amen. Glory. Oh. Bless me. If you ain't get blessed, I got blessed. All right. All right. Amen.
Me too.
All right. Any final thoughts before we go? Because I know I'm 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes over, I think. Amen. Is it me? All right, Sister Cozy. He said me. Praise be to God. Anybody have some thoughts before we go tonight and before we have a word of prayer?
I was just gonna say really quick. I feel like I've been after reading these scriptures, just these few scriptures you handed us, just this first go around, I feel like I've been missing the mark with the fasting, and I agree it should be a lifestyle. It should go hand in hand. I worship, I pray, I fast. It should be a regular thing. It shouldn't be on special occasions that I'm seeking, you know, I'm trying to fast, because that's really how we get before God. You're saying humble yes. yourselves. Well, I need to incorporate that fasting.
Yes.
If I want to get before God and hear what he has to say to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That I think this has been the one key component that has messed us up. It is, I know it's messed me up, that me missing this as a lifestyle has, I believe, helped me back in certain areas of my life, has hindered relationships in my life, has hindered certain things in my life, because not living the fasted life. We want to get the most out of this. We have to follow the things that God tells us to do. And one of them is fasting. Jesus did it before he started his ministry. Right. And he talked about it the whole time. So all I got to say is it's been there. We are opening ourselves up to the frequency now of hearing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Pastor, I just want to say, like, we've been saying that scripture pretty much on my family's prayer call. Pretty much since the pandemic started, and it is blowing me away right now. I'm just shocked. Like, pretty much, humble yourself, or you'll heal our land, and that's part we've been missing.
Yeah,
like really, just wow, just wow.
Yeah. Praise be to God. It's a blessing, and I'm telling you, this is gonna bless you to bless others. Take this group of scriptures, put them together, teach them like I just taught them tonight. Teach them when you're on your job, you're in your prayer group, whatever. Teach this just like we taught it tonight. Share this with other people and say, listen, I just want to share with you what this humble really means in scripture so that we can do this the right way, because we ain't seen the land getting healed until we follow this. Once we do this, there's going to be an explosion. I want to share this with the world. Go ahead,
Deacon. One thing that's amazing to me is how much faster you throughout scripture. And I must be just flowing over it, just assuming it's another word or something. But it's there constantly. In every book, you know.
We have focused so much on prayer because we have been praying and praying and praying, but not adding the humble position of fasting with it.
There you go.
Yeah. So and reserving fasting for special occasion. When we really want to pull down some demons, but not on a regular lifestyle basis.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I was, Pastor, thank you so much for bringing that word out, because it's a lot of scriptures with that word humble in it. I've never associated being humble with fasting. Mm-hmm. I thought it meant submitting yourself unto God. And I never associated that with fasting.
And it does mean submitting yourself unto God, but the way to do it is fasting.
Yes, that's learning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not
alone,
Sister Faye. Just learning it tonight.
Well, yeah. Praise be to God. Well, it's at the right time. I'm telling you, it's at the right time. Don't beat yourself up by we should have known this. No, because I haven't even taught it this way before. So understand, the Spirit is revealing some things for this time, for this time. Yes. And so this is why we're getting the understanding and the insight tonight. And so, Sister Cozy, yeah, these are have been recorded. I want you to know, and we will definitely, I just need to post these recordings. And I'll post the audio of them. I'm not going to post the video. I'm going to post the audio of these recordings so that you don't have to worry about, you know, your faces and your surroundings and all that. And Leo and Liam being on the, you know, on the screen and all that stuff, you know. So I'm going to protect everybody's privacy with this as well. But we will post the audio of these. But this tonight is absolutely, I believe, groundbreaking as it relates to us digging into this fasted life. And I'm excited about it. All right. Well, praise be to God. Let's pray, and then we'll work on humbling ourselves. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for just sharing the insight into your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us greater knowledge and greater awareness of what this means and how to do it. And so we do want our land to be healed. We do want our sins to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. We do want to turn from our wicked ways, but we understand that we must do something, and that is to fast and to pray, so that we can be humbled before you. As it said in scripture, the man of God said, I call to fast so that we can be humbled before God. Find out which way to go and what to do. That's what we want tonight, God. We want to humble ourselves before you. And we know that to do that, in order to do that, we got to submit our bodies and resist food for a period of time, whatever that time period is. If it's 24 hours, if it's 12 hours during the day, whatever that fasted life cycle is, you're going to begin to reveal it to us as we go through these teachings. And we're going to do this the right way and be able to sustain it over the course of our lives. And we know that the enemy is going to come in and try to tempt us, as the enemy tempted Jesus after he was on his fast and praying and preparing for the earthly ministry. We, God, know that the enemy is going to come, and every time we think about fasting, our appetite is going to grow for food or for sweets or for something that can give pleasure to the body. Well, we, God, want to resist that pleasure, and we ask that you would build us up to prepare our hearts to sustain the ability to be humble before you through fasting. And we will fight all the way through, fight our flesh, fight our cravings for food and for bodily pleasures, in order to humble ourselves before you, to see the results of what you promised us in your word. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless y'all tonight. Bless y'all tonight. Love y'all. All right. And go and eat this word. All right. And share it. Okay. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.